Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
All right, it's Jared and Shane here with the special super review of the latest film in the Transformers trilogy. That would be Transformers... Dark Side of... Is it Dark...
I just think it's Dark of
Dark
the Moon.
Dark of the Moon.
Honestly, the title's immaterial.
It is immaterial. We were fortunate enough to score, yet again, sneak preview passes.
Thank goodness.
And we're here to give you our review of this film. And I do that in air quotes.
Yes.
Film. So, let's see. The movie starts off... I'm going to say it starts off promising.
So
the movie starts off with kind of a montage mixed with fake film stuff of the U.S. space program.
And why, and their motivations for why supposedly the space program was actually begun.
So we find out, and this is a huge spoiler alert, that Autobots crashed on the moon, and that is pretty much why we have a space program, to find out what was going on there. And anything after that is immaterial. It doesn't really matter, but... I thought that was kind of interesting how they did this faux history, which we saw in X-Men First Class. And I thought it was actually kind of well done until you got to the weird computer-generated zombie John F. Kennedy.
That was very odd.
Which, by the way, we saw twice, once in real 3D and then once again in broken 3D, just like we saw Green Lantern, because they couldn't get the fucking 3D film to work. Again. And we watched probably 5 to 10 minutes of the movie in broken 3D.
I will never pay for a 3D film again.
3D, you've lost us.
Unless for maybe a documentary, but not for a nonfiction film.
You've lost us.
Film. Anyway.
So anyway, you have, I thought, a promising start to the movie.
I will grant you that.
I mean, I was like, okay, maybe Michael Bay has learned his lesson. How silly could I be that Michael Bay would learn his lesson?
And I think we almost didn't get him. Someone else was going to direct us, and then he decided to come back.
Yeah, Michael Bay, that was probably your biggest mistake in your career. So then, from there, you go into the Shia LaBeouf character, present day.
He's a complete asshole.
Yep, he's an asshole in this movie.
I don't know what happened.
He's lost Megan Fox, which, by the way, they made sure they slammed on her a couple of times in this movie, which I think she might have been... She might be coming out tip of the cap, Stephen Colbert would say. Thank God she missed this movie.
She got out when at the right time.
She got out when the getting was shit.
She might have should have gone out for the first one, but...
So, I mean, we could go into the whole plot, but let's just say it's a lot of bad robots fighting a lot of good robots, but yet... There are not a lot of robots in this movie for good portions of the film.
There's a lot of humans for some reason. And of course, we have to check in with Sam's parents.
Yes.
See how they're doing.
The weirdly perverted parents, which, another spoiler alert, mentioning Sam's penis, his mother.
Yeah.
Ask if he has a big package.
Well, he must have to get two hotties in a row. He'll never get a third one, Shane.
So who
else? I'm just quoting the film at this point.
So who else is starring in this film? They've actually added a bunch of new cast members besides Sam's Shia LaBeouf's new girlfriend. I don't even know her name.
Her character name is Carly.
Yes,
and I actually kind of liked her for the most part. Although some of the stuff they make her do is dumb. But anyway, I didn't find her like a pale imitation of Megan Fox. I thought she fit in the role just fine, and she wasn't as vapid or as talentless as I expected her to be. So hey. Points for you, Carly.
Points for you. I think she was a Victoria's Secret model in print.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
We should have done our research. We really should have done. So what other old people were in this movie that didn't need to be in this movie?
Frances McDormand. Is
she an Oscar winner?
She is an Oscar winner, I believe.
Oscar nominated.
I'm not sure what prompted her to pick up this paycheck, but maybe she needed a boat. I don't know. John Turturro is back, of course.
Yes, he is the worst character ever to be carried through.
Yep. And he's even worse in this one. I was sad with the addition. Not that I'm sad that he's working, because I enjoy him working, but Alan Tudyk, what are you doing?
Which one is Alan Tudyk?
He was Dutch. He was John Turturro's manservant or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of Alan Tudyk, from Firefly and other things that I've seen him in. I think he's great, but...
Yeah. Wow. He played... Okay, so here we go. We'll continue off the cast, but then we'll talk about some of the other crazy things. So we've got him. We've got John Malkovich. Very bizarre as Sam Witwicky's boss.
Yep.
I don't know what he was doing there.
I don't know, but apparently Sam did impress him because he wanted to be his best friend.
In this would be one case where he would not want to be John Malkovich.
Yes.
You have that. You also have a doctor from Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. What's his name? McDreamy? McSteamy?
McSteamy. This one is McDreamy.
Okay.
And Patrick Dempsey is the character.
Shane has now access the IMDb.
Yes, and he's. Phone. I think that's the end of the old people. Oh no, we forget about a couple of the other main characters. We've got Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, that's right.
The one thing he needed to do: talk to robot characters before he died.
Well, yeah.
We've got the leader of the Factor, Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was in this movie.
Oh my goodness. So, hits keep coming.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make this shit up. I told Jared when we were watching this, or after we finished watching this, we could review this movie for 2.5 hours.
Seriously.
We could spend the entire time.
We could have had another marathon review session like we did for the first film.
Yes,
which almost came to blows between myself and Earl, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
And I think if I went back and examined my behavior during that review, I'd be disgusted. Because I was actually somewhat defending the first film, and probably shouldn't have. Anyway.
So Michael Bay took a lot of heat in the second Transformers movie for having the two racist black robots.
Sure.
So in this, and he said those robots were nowhere to be found in this film, and
nope.
He is absolutely correct. They were not.
Those exact robots are not to be found.
But instead he took aim at Asians,
yep.
He took aim at gays,
yep.
And he still sort of took aim at blacks. Black people in sort of undercutting with a smaller mini Transformer robot that wasn't quite as racist, but was there. And then the black soldiers that sort of, you know, pranced around and, you know, they're getting too old for this shit kind of attitude.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And then he also made sure, just to be fair, that we took out Australians, we took out Irishmen, we took out Italians. Anybody else? Russians were pegged in this? Any?
Did you say Scottish?
Yes.
You may have said Scottish, yep.
We've got security going around. I hope they're not coming in to talk to us.
Well, we're just... Anyway.
Anyway.
This is important stuff, people.
Yeah, I mean, so any...
This bothers me about what they do. It's like, in the cartoon, yes, the characters had unique voices, but they were not, like, caricatures and racist voices.
You had Scatman Crothers. That was about it, is playing jazz.
Yeah, but he was in all...
But that's his voice!
He had a unique voice.
That's his voice.
He wasn't like a degrading character.
No.
Which is just, ugh.
It's sort of the George Lucas prequel thing, you know? To give aliens voices, we have to base them on...
Yeah.
We have to base them on...
Some sort of archetype or stereotype from that...
From
that,
America, that, or from... Somewhere else in the world. It doesn't make any sense that... Why are these robots going to start talking like they are from Little Italy?
And the only one who talks normal is Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's it. And he was from the cartoon.
Yeah.
The voice, like Peter Cullen, is that who does the voice?
Peter Cullen.
So you've got that issue going on. This movie hits on every single action movie stereotype. It hits on every single stupid movie-making device that you've seen in every other Transformers film. I have to say, visually, special effects are probably the best they've been. I suppose
if you can actually manage to focus on any one thing.
Yeah. But I'm saying that I think visually it looked better than any of the other films.
Okay.
I think that I have to give some sort of props there. But everything else is a disaster. The movie, here's the one thing about the Transformers that really bothers me, and it's not the racism, because everyone knows I love racism. It's there are moments in this movie where they find just little bits of tone or little bits of action that actually work well. There's a car scene where they're racing on the freeway, which I think they do that in every Transformers movie.
Yeah.
And Bumblebee is carrying passengers. He has to escape trouble, and he transforms while taking out Shia LaBeouf and then sort of throws him and then grabs him and wraps him back up into the car. And it was actually a cool, compelling scene. Maybe the only good 3D use of 3D in the film. I just thought that was cool. Sometimes the humor does hit the right note every once in a while, but it doesn't really fit in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like what is it doing here? It's a completely different thing.
You go from one tragic scene where people are being massacred to... Yeah.
And there are people being massacred, Jared.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And then you cut away to some funny scene, and then you come back to the killing again, and it's like... you do not know how to do comic relief.
No,
because I'm watching destruction, and there's no joy, and there's no soul, and then you're trying to make me laugh, and I have no idea where you're trying, what journey you're taking me on, Mr. Bay.
Hey, look at all these people that just got vaporized by aliens, and alien robots. You can see their skulls bouncing on the ground. But then let's make sure that Sam goes and takes care of his girl problems.
Yeah.
Let's win her heart back right in the middle of all this. Because that's what you're concentrating on.
Very important.
Other problems in the movie, the varying and wildly differentiating strengths of the robots and the humans. Humans can't do anything? Now all of a sudden the humans can destroy robots.
Well, you shoot out their eyes, Shane, and use some fancy new fuser grenades, and you're good to go. Yeah,
but they didn't use those before. So Autobots can't destroy anybody? Oh, now all of a sudden Autobots can destroy things. It does not make any sense.
There is no rhyme or reason. There's no consistency.
There's also no prime or reason in this movie. Wow. Optimus Prime, hardly not in this movie. Megatron, yeah. Hardly not in this movie, once again.
Megatron necessarily wasn't the focus, but he definitely, found his balls late in the film, yeah. Courtesy of talking to by a certain character, which was bizarre. Why, you didn't just squish her like a bug?
That might be one of the worst scenes ever.
Didn't he just squish her like a bug? I don't get that, but... Yeah, Optimus Prime sometimes just disappears, I guess he's incapacitated or what, but we go 20 minutes without knowing what happened to him, and then he bursts in with a jetpack and some weapons and,
Hey Jared,
and
did you
spins
know,
around like a ninja.
Did you know that the greatest enemy or the greatest threat to big talking robots is not the lack of energon?
Okay.
It's not some crazy computer virus.
I thought it might have been.
It is actually human reverse psychology.
Oh,
you just use a word trickery and change the tone of your voice.
That saves the day every time.
And damn, you've got it all figured out. You can take those little bastards down.
I hope the Pentagon and the CIA and foreign intelligence are all listening to this, because that little nugget of information needs to be filed away for future
reverse
reference.
Psychology.
Yes. Play on their emotions and their vanity.
Yes.
That is the key.
So, one other question I wanted to throw this out to you.
Yes.
And the score will probably reflect this. But is this movie worse than the Green Lantern? We're sitting almost in the same parking spot, doing the same review. Is this worse than the Green Lantern?
Yes. For me, it is. Probably an hour into this film, I had no joy left. I had completely checked out. I was not interested in how things resolved. There might have been a little ebb and flow with the audience as far as people were into it.
Audience seemed to be eating this up, Jared.
They were laughing. They were and they applauded at the end, and I was just like, oh, was it over?
Yeah.
Honestly, the credits, the directed by Michael Bay credit comes up, and it's like, oh, we're done. Okay, time to go. Seriously, I had no interest in what was going on in this film.
There was parts in this movie where robots were falling dead, a lot of robots being killed, and I was just thinking to myself, I hope they keep going.
Yeah.
Let's just kill them all. Let's kill them all, let's be done with it.
It's I don't understand why Michael Bay needs to destroy everything. It was just mindless destruction. Yeah. I mean, buildings being just ground to dust by metal snakes.
For no reason. And the metal snakes, Jared. We haven't even talked about the robot metal snakes.
Everything is just destruction and dust and fire and explosion. It's like you can't focus on anything. It's like being in a fucking war and not an entertaining war. I don't know.
Because war is entertaining, Jared.
Seriously, by the end, I'm just like, this is...
So desensitized?
I'm numb because there's nothing here to appreciate.
No.
You know, nothing is... I can't appreciate the staging of anything because there's too much going on. I don't know what's going on. Honestly, it's just mind-numbing. Even now I'm trying to find the words to describe it, and I can't because it's just...
This would be a great movie to do a bit of, like, a Mystery Science Theater, where you could go through and just... You could literally pick it apart piece by piece by piece, and then you still wouldn't have enough words to talk about this film.
Right. Like, the fact that the Autobots could just fine take their own ship to the moon, but then they required some sort of human spaceship to leave the planet. Okay.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You're looking for plot consistency, don't even bother. Yeah,
it's not there.
It's a big mess.
Everything's
a mess. Oh, boy. I mean, are we supposed to root for the humans in this one? I'm
afraid. They were in the movie enough that we probably should.
Because
have.
I hated all of the humans. Honestly, they were all jerks. Every one of them. I didn't care if they died or lived. Seriously. There's no empathy. No, nothing.
No human connection.
This film was nothing but noise. Seriously.
I'm stunned, Jared.
I don't know.
You've talked me out so much.
I'm sorry. Honestly, this is the sort of, like, visceral reaction I'm having to this film, and just honestly surprised that it's going to be a hit and people are going to love it. I mean, we know it's going to make money.
Yes. So let me ask this, and then we'll give it a score.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if it's better or worse than the second film.
I think it wasn't as offensive
as the second film.
I think it is better than the second film, but when you take it together as a whole, as what it has done, what it went from the first film to the third film, I would give it a lower score. I don't remember what we gave this. We should have looked it up, what we gave the Transformers.
It was low.
But I just think that it's disgusting, like, lesson not learned. It's more of the same. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Let's just hope Michael Bay is done and that if they decide to reboot this series, they give it to someone who understands that A, the robots are the stars and B, not everything needs to blow up.
So let me ask this. If Michael Bay does a Transformers 4, which I'm sure they would, if this does well, they will pay him a lot of money to do so, will we commit to seeing it? At least if we're still doing the scope.
That's a tough one.
I think I'm committed.
Okay.
I got to do it, but I would tell you I'll not like myself.
I mean, I feel like this is sort of woven into the fiber of our show. This need to see and critique the Transformers films, but
I will make this promise.
This is a tough one.
This is my promise.
Yeah.
I will never see another Michael Bay film that is not Transformers.
Wow. Okay.
I'm blacklisting Michael Bay because I don't think that he has it in him to make a film that I would ever appreciate.
I think he's come too far. Unless I don't know if there's any way he can redeem himself. I mean, you said after when we were leaving that you would probably, if you see The Rock now, you might not like it.
Because I think I probably wouldn't.
Which is, you said, your probably favorite film of his. Yeah, you might be right.
Michael Bay, you're blacklisted. You're the first blacklisted artist on the scope, at least for me.
You know, I had thoughts and feelings coming out of this film, and now having a chance to actually try to voice those and kind of work through them, I feel worse.
Please do not let this ruin your Convergence 2011.
No, I'll get over it. I honestly feel worse about this experience than I did immediately after the film ending. So,
hey,
I guess there's that.
I guess. Well, let's give this son of a bitch a score and call it a night.
The Scope score is 1/4 star.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
So there you go. There's your score. A reluctant 1/4 star, might be closer to 0. If we had a 1/8 star, maybe we'd create a 1/8 star for this. I don't know.
I'm not going into back and creating that. I think I think our plan was to release this review on the release date of the film.
When is that, by the way?
It is Wednesday the 29th.
Okay.
I think we need to get it out early as a public service.
Okay, so we will do our best to do that.
So that's on me. I realize it's on me.
Oh, it's on me, too. I got to write this thing up.
True. So I will go home tonight, and I will assemble this and get it ready to go, because, we need to warn people.
That's it. This is where we're warning people. Red alert. The klaxons are going.
Woo! All right.
So there you go. Transformers, Dark of the Moon, done. Stick a fork in it.
Yeah.
Later.
Don't bother.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.